This is KGVM Radio, 95.9 on your dial.
I'm Marion.
And I'm Jim. We are your hosts for this weekly program, Meditation to Self-Realization.
Our intention here is to do interviews, guided meditations, and share teachings of Hindu philosophy. We will be discussing how we can reach our greatest potential through self-realization.
This week we want to focus on a theme that will be taken from a book by Prithviji and Krishnaji, The Four Sacred Secrets.
So Jim, before we get started, I'd like to lead us all in a short breath pause.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
To relax and become centered.
Alright.
So let's take some slow, deep breaths and be very conscious of your inhale and your chest rising, and an exhale with your chest falling. And take a couple breaths this way. Relax your facial muscles. Relax your shoulders. Be sure your lips are closed as you inhale slowly and exhale slowly. And now take another inhale, and on your exhale, slowly open your eyes and join us.
That's nice. Thanks, Marion.
You're welcome.
This week's guests are a couple, Jim and Elizabeth, from Idaho, and they went to India to experience tapa for 30 days. Marion, you want to explain a little bit what the tapa is?
Okay, so the way that we understand it from interviewing Maggie and is that it was a 21 day silent retreat where they had guided processes to eliminate prolonged states of suffering in their minds. And now, since returning, they speak of residing in an unperturbed calm. So we're excited to hear first from Elizabeth.
It feels like we're right there. Here's our ashram. Here's all the people. It's been an incredible journey coming home. As you all know, we've been winter camping since we got here, and the beautiful burning fire of tapas within has truly been keeping us warm. It's a miracle that I personally in this body have been able to stay here. I my circulation doesn't run too, it runs pretty thick. So, to be in a physical state of this and to be in that peaceful, calm place with, honestly, there's been no suffering. I could be running around like I normally would have, cold, freezing. I'm too cold. I can't relax because I'm too cold, and a whole story around that. And it's not been here at all. It's just, what is, we need a new furnace. We need, it's just been 1 foot in front of the other, and intelligence flowing without that constriction of the mind. You know, when I first went to India, my first journey, enlightenment was all it was. It was all they talked about. And it was a very, very silent 21 days. And I remember being there, you know, I was on a path. I grew up Catholic, and our mother took us deep into nature. Nature was my God. You know, I went to church and would be like, okay, I love the ritual at church, and I didn't really understand where God was for me, but we'd go to nature at least one Sunday a month. We'd go to the woods as a family, and that's where I found God and always have had God. And so when I went to India that first time, all people, when they were talking about enlightenment, including the faculty. I'm like, what's enlightenment? You know, and we know what they're talking about, honestly. And after that time there and having such profound experiences and states of enlightenment, you know, there I was, a seeker, born a seeker. And they were sharing at Tapas how, you know, that's how this originated. It was Srila Bhagwan's vision to enlighten humanity. And now Sri Prithiji, Sri Krishnanji are taking that vision and continuing with this and humanity's awakening. And they had said one day during the Tapas how they kind of had gone off course, if you will, like talking about health, helping people with health, helping people with worldly problems, and how Tapas is only for enlightenment. If you go up to him and ask him a question about your husband or your wife or your partner or your children or your work or your finances, they won't even look at you. They won't answer you. They won't talk to you. It's solely, completely about enlightenment. And it was such a breath of fresh air and like a, we're there. Like we're totally there. This is what I've been waiting for so many lives. The intensity of the Tapas is what I've been waiting for a very long time. Cause I personally, I'm like, I don't want to mess around. Like this is no joke. Humanity is suffering greatly. And we don't have time to play, you know, we don't have time to talk about it. Not in this way, but just to not go into it, not to actually go into our consciousness, into our depth of our being and do what we can. So it was incredible to be in that field of vision again in such a deep, deep way. And, you know, nobody's enlightened. There's no enlightenment. It's not like we're sitting here and we're saying we're enlightened. No, not, that's not what we are. Nobody's enlightened and everybody's suffering until they're enlightened. That was like such a beautiful peace. You know, we can move into these little beautiful states and these transcendental states and enlightened states, which are incredible and which what keep me going forward on this path. But until we're living an enlightened life, we're not. And it was another really great way to stop the deception of my mind, telling me maybe otherwise when I am suffering that I'm not suffering. And I so appreciated it. And Leah, I think several of Leah and Linda talking about the focus and the concentration that you're in while in Tapas. You know, as soon as Jim and I came home, it was like, wow, just being home, watching the mind kick up. It's like, it's like the engines are all starting to fire. And when you're in Tapas, you don't have to worry about cooking, cleaning, you know, work, socializing, nothing. Nothing is there but your inner world. Nothing is there but your inner world. And it's like, you think you can do this. Even when you do this, they're showing you the screen of your inner world right in front of you. I mean, it's like full on no escaping of what's happening inside. And you're not alone. Here you are. You're with 65 people and everybody's in their suffering. Everybody's seeing their suffering. And it's not me. It's not, oh my gosh, poor me. What about me? Why me? It's this vision of humanity. It's this vision of the collective and where compassion is born. You know, when I started to see how this suffering isn't just inside of me, oh my gosh, compassion was, I cried so many tears for our youth, not just my son, not just for Alina, not just for my nieces and nephews, but for all of our youth in compassion. Like, oh my gosh, you know, what Leah and Linda shared about your vasanas, literally it's a handover. It's like, okay, here, whatever wasn't cleared in my life, here's your truckload of suffering. And once again, made me all the more passionate about the work. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, we have to continue on this awakening, this enlightenment of humanity. And so if passion could have been stoked any more inside of me, it happened. And that's kind of a miracle because I'm pretty passionate about it already. And I stay in that space today of that fire burning inside and that fire burning for me to continue to look at my own suffering when that knock on the door comes, for me to actually open the door and look at it, not be distracted with life, not be distracted with positive thinking in my head. Gosh, you know, what Leah said about enlightenment states, you know, that's where the journey went from the time that I first started going there, was running so fast after those enlightened states to get out of my suffering. I was like, get me the heck out of this body, into those amazing states, and then I don't have to sit in this body and be in my suffering. So it was like, okay, let's go, let's do some more, let's get in some more states, let's blah, 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 blah. And it was just amazing how they were like, no, there's no escaping here. There's no, literally, like Leah said, I went into one amazing enlightened state at the very, very last day, basically. And before that, it was literally just kisses of the states on my cheeks, on my heart. But it would not make me unfunctional or out of my body at all. It was like so present and integrated into the body, into the consciousness. So the escape is gone. For me, I'm not looking for these enlightened states to get out of my suffering. I'm facing suffering head on. I'm like, come on, come on, bring it on, you know? And with so much grace and so much wisdom and so much foundation to be able to look at it. It's not just, you know, from this place of, I'm not doing anything about it. I can't do anything about it. That was the other beautiful realization, was the systems that they're using there. Sadhana is essential. It's a must. And to be very serious about the sadhana is important. And so, you know, that's what I did. Jim did. We were extremely serious about what they asked of us. We would do everything they asked of us to the best that we could. And, then listening to the wisdom. I mean, they have you in this focus, this intense focus, where, like Leah said, there's no note-taking, so there's no remembering in my brain of what they just said. Literally, while I'm watching a video, it's a programming. It's being downloaded into the consciousness, embedded into the consciousness. And I could tell you the teachings today because they're embedded. I have no memory of what they are. But it's in the being. It was incredible. I've never experienced anything quite like that. And so that's the other piece, was the wisdom. And so I would do these things, have the focus, the wisdom, the sadhana. And I'd get to the edge of the cliff. And I'd come to this place of total gratitude and surrender. Gratitude to be able to be at the edge of the cliff. and then surrender because I couldn't do anything more. It was like, okay, I've done my part. Like, this is all I can do. And then the grace would just flood in, and oh my gosh. It's all a combination. It's not one or the other. It's all an effort, all together an effort to create any shift. So, and then seeing, it was beautiful. It was really fun. My, third eye got opened more and more, and to be able to see what's happening, not in this world, was really, really fun. And seeing this kind of deprogramming of our suffering, not just me, it was everybody there, getting that Roto-Rooter cleaned out, wiped out, the programming getting taken down. It's so much like these machines. It was like, wow, we're like a machine. And creating that space, just like when we upload our phone, it wipes it out, and then you download the new program. And that's totally what it was like. It was like our boards would get wiped out. There was one of the dikshas that we had where my whole body slumped like this, and it felt like a switch went ping and everything shut down. And then it turned on and it was like, and I saw all this violet light at the top of my head. And it was literally like this new programming coming in of enlightenment. And, like everyone already has shared here, suffering is knocking at the door. It comes in for coffee every now and again. But this witness is watching, and it's not me. It's definitely not me, because then I'm not seeing it at all. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, profound gift to have that witness watching. And in the watching, the suffering's like, oh, okay, I'm seen. Gotta go. So thank you for the opportunity to share. And, the Ekam City, wherever you are, if you're able to, it's a really, really beautiful, profound gift that we all can experience these enlightened states and that fertile soil, that ground that we've all been working on this path. We're all tilling our soil, and those enlightened states do plant the seeds. So enjoy this, Dithipragna Thwa. And, we're here to any support or anything you need to continue on the journey, whatever that is. It does not mean that everyone has to go to tapas. It's not that at all. Cause as you know, when anyone here goes, especially cause we're so connected as this family, everyone's impacted. And so when one goes, 30 of us are impacted, all of us, humanity's impacted. So thank you. Thank you for beautiful listening and the time to share.
So thank you. I guess I'll go. Pat and Kitty, I'll answer you had a question around a couple staying together, and I'll use that as my dive in. Elizabeth and I, when we, the first day we talked about it, and hearing the requirements for Mauna, for being silent, and then no intimacy, we thought, wow, maybe we should, stay in separate dorms, just to less distraction, more focus. And we talked to one of the guides, and they said, if you guys are serious about it, we know. And, as long as you do stay in Mauna, and we're like, yeah, we're, I think it was the second maybe day in or something, kind of when orientation was waning. You know, it was like a day of orientation and a lot of info. And so that's when we consulted, and the Dasa was like, no, you're good. You know, if you can stay in Mauna, no problem. And, we were pretty strict on the Mauna, which is essential. I mean, there was times that I did speak where in retrospect, I can see the Mauna is silence. It's like, is you don't talk. No chatting, no visiting. It's an inward journey, and it make, you know, it's like going into a cave alone. You know, it's really what it is. It's an inner journey, and you don't talk. You sit down and have dinner either by yourself or with a group at the table, and it's silent. You're walking from class to class. You're sitting in class. The only time you talk is during sharing and answering time. Sharing is a really important part of the collective. Like, there's a period where we share our experiences, and in those sharings, it's the collective becomes so much more palpable. You really do become one consciousness, and the sadhanas that we did, some of the mantras, some of the meditations, it becomes so much more powerful. You're in your own cave, but you're in a collective cave as well. And I would say if I wanted to even go deeper, I would room separately than being together. But it was interesting because, you know, Elizabeth and I really didn't know what was happening for each other 99% of the time. Like, after a 7-day break at the end of 1 week, we'd have an hour to chat. And most of it wasn't like the switch went on, blah, 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 blah. It wasn't a puke down, you know, it was, this came up for me, and we'd share a little bit, and then it was kind of like I didn't really want to talk still. I never wanted to get on my phone. You know, there's no phone. I had no idea what day it was. I had no idea what time it was, unless the Dasa said, okay, lunch is at 2:30. I'm like, that means nothing to me because I have no idea what time it is now. You know, it's like, okay, well, when you hear the gong, come to lunch. And so time really did come to a stop. Like, there was no time. So on a, you know, on a practical level, I would, for me personally, you know, if we go back, we haven't even talked about it, but I might choose to do it separate. The inward journey, like I think, you know, Linda mentioned something that what really made it a huge impression on me was how little control we have with our life. When we're in, you know, we're born, we're raised by our parents. And, you know, I create this whole story. I have a really beautiful and ugly book about Jim, you know. And one of the most profound things for me was how that story that I created and I've been living my life from for 40, 58 years is a myth. And it's a bit hard to take. When, you know, the realization was so profound and beautiful that I couldn't stop crying, because it allowed me to see, oh my God, I really am the one, there's no one else who can take the suffering away than myself. Like, there's no blame. We are, you know, as a humanity collective, we're on this big, huge stew pot of suffering. And we do the things that we do because we're not completely in suffering, but the programs, I mean, there's good programs and there's not so good programs and terrible programs. And, but what I came most in depth was this incredible, inner compassion for myself and therefore outward. Like it was like the creation. It's really hard to put words to. And like right now I'm just thinking about it. I haven't written about it, so I haven't really cognized how to express it, but that depth of the inner compassion is what I'm seeing going out and how I'm hearing others, you know, or even Elizabeth when something happens and there's like a little ruffle, you know, it's like, oh, I'm irritated. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, wow, I see her suffering, you know, it's like, I feel that suffering inside and then I see her suffering and there's no lingering. Like, something happened last night. I fell asleep. The house was cold. The lights were on. Elizabeth went to bed and I woke up. I felt like a baby, like left in the crib. I was like, and it's what my daughter would do. Like, you left me alone, you know? And I felt this abandonment for like 3 minutes. I went upstairs and I was watching it all happen. And I said, like, I'm automatically like, okay, what is this? Oh, I feel abandoned. And it happens, you know, it's part of the ego self, you know, we just so much laser focus on what's going on inside. It's like, oh, boom, there it is. What's this feeling in my heart? And I just shared it with her and Elizabeth apologized. She was like practically asleep and she apologized. And then I was watching it still. And there was no like story, nothing. It was like, it's done. It was so, and that's been happening. I mean, I just see it happening over and over and over. Like, there's no lingering story. There's no, yeah, but, you know, another really this journey is all about knowing the self, and what's been kind of the fallout, but it's not the right word, but is like this deep compassion and this deep love for myself. So where in the past I've been so programmed, self-programmed to like kick out stuff I don't want to see. There's no reason to. I mean, there's actually reason not to. I see that so clearly now. It's like, oh my gosh, whatever the ripple is, whether it's a beautiful ripple of joy or a beautiful, or a, you know, painful ripple of abandonment. It's like, I'm not letting anything go by. It's almost like I can't. There's, and I don't want to. I've lived for so many years with this, like Linda said, you know, it's whether it's a speck of dust of suffering or, you know, a gargantuan house size, pity or whatever. It's like none of it is, I don't want any of it. And and that concentration, the sadhana, the laser focus of being, of awareness, which, you know, I'm not like, it's not like the suffering isn't, doesn't come, because it does, and it lingers. You know, I was like thinking about it last night. They use this analogy of, you know, you're suffering. They come in for a cup of coffee, you know, and hopefully not stay for dinner, and definitely not move into your spare bedroom. And I was thinking about in that real time, okay, real time, a cup of coffee is about 10 minutes. And having a dinner is what, maybe an hour or two. And so I'm like, wow, literally that's what they were talking about. That I started thinking about the length of time is like, wow, most of my suffering has been, them wanting to hang up their coat to have a cup of coffee. And I see it beforehand and they're like, it's like a revolving door. Oh, there it goes. Oh, there it goes. Oh, they're in. Nope, they're out. And just that, and it's because of the awareness that they, it's all about awareness. Everything is, so, you know, I can really relate to Leah. Probably the most challenging for me is that concentration. Like I'm focusing and I'm like, whoa, I've been gone for 10 minutes out somewhere. I don't even remember now, or starts with just a minuscule thought that fractals into something bigger, and then all of a sudden it's a story. So really powerful to be able to observe those incremental thoughts that develop into something. And my dedication has blossomed, and it's turning into a jungle. You know, it's not a little sprout garden anymore. It feels like it's my dedication to my path to enlightenment and to humanities. It's like I was sharing with Elizabeth, like yesterday, we live in a ski town. We both have ski passes. We haven't been home, so we haven't been up yet, but I don't even think about this passion I had like 2 years ago. I'm like skiing or snowboarding. I'm thinking, how can anyone that's in town 30 minutes away not be up here on a beautiful Saturday? It's like, what are they thinking? And I haven't even thought about putting boots and skis on. Like I just feel so much passion about what can I do to help us end this, our suffering. And it starts inside. It's everyone's journey, like every person on the planet's journey of ending their suffering. And the development of my relationship with my inner divine has changed dramatically because of where I saw where I sit down with my divine with in that place of suffering. And my whole perception of the divine has changed a lot. And it's continuing to just keep evolving in a broader kind of undescribable thing, which I'm incredibly grateful for. And courage is courage to talk about what's happening, or invite people to siddhi. I mean, I'm more of a one-on-one person. And, although I've been happy. I was a musician I play music, and I'm happy to like get on a stage and play music and be in front of people. But I don't know. There's this newfound courage of Coming from compassion is really what I think it's showing me. I'm feeling. So that's a bit of a little bit of my share. I would say, like, on a physical level, I went with a cortisone shot in my lower back, my lower vertebrae, because I have bulging disc and sciatic pain. My right leg is numb and painful, and I sat through the Tapas nights. My biggest issue was my ankles hurt because of my bony shins, you know, like, or my foot fell asleep, and my back was never part of the story at all. It wasn't, it was there definitely. And the walks were really great. Beautiful walks into nature and profound things happening for me, insights and realizations on those walks, because, you know, you're with 60 people, but you're really alone still. You know, on that physical, practical level, I would say it's really easy for the mind to create a impossibility or a scary thing, you know, like, wow, how can I do that? But the mind slows way down, and I stopped thinking about, like, uh-oh, what if? There was very few what ifs. It was really great. And that's what, that keeps continuing. Like, the revolving door of the past and the future, it's definitely there, but it's so short-lived. Like, there's no time. They hang up their coat ready to have a cup of coffee, and they're, like, grabbing their coat again because they're going back out the door. It's so beautiful, really powerful. So the present, which enables me to be really present with someone when they're talking, talking on the phone. I'm not distracted looking at my phone, talking or what, you know, looking at whatever. It's so much more presence. And I would say if you could stay 4 weeks, to stay the 4 weeks. I was like Leah after 4 weeks. I was like, can I stay another month? Seriously. I mean, you get in such a deep, slow, concentrated place on the focus of wow, there's a whole world in here that I had no idea. I mean, I had ideas, but I want to keep excavating. It's like, man, sharpen up my jackhammer and let me keep going. So I encourage anyone, everyone. And like Elizabeth said, we're here. If you have any questions, concerns, anytime, happy to share. Thank you.
I'd just like to add on the tail end of Jim that to be there with our other sister, and like the three of the siblings were there, and then to be there with Elizabeth and Linda, who are our family as well. It was extraordinary, you guys, being there with family. Extraordinary, the family healing and power, and just could not have been more sweet in that way.
It's funny because we don't even know our journeys yet. Elizabeth and I are still like opening up slowly, like, oh, and this happened. And Leah and I and Noreen.
And Linda.
And Linda, like, I've heard little tiny snippets, like, me, you know. So I'm really excited to hear. This feels really, yeah, really different. Just looking at my sisters, like watching their, especially my older sister, watching her turn into a baby.
Yeah. She didn't look the same at all. Physical transformation.
The softest, most beautiful I've ever seen her
ever.
So,
yeah.
And she's gone. She's far away in Italy. We're lucky to have her. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know at this point, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the mountain zone. If you guys need to get to work, if you have questions, I know we have Paula and Linda here too. And I'm going to kind of leave it up to the group to decide where you would like to go from here. We could certainly do this again and again and again. We can save questions for another time. We can do whatever you guys want.
I personally have to go. I'm doing 2 Acom cities, and I have to literally get on the road. So, but thank you all, and this is just an amazing family that I'm just so grateful to be a part of.
So. Yeah, truly, we're so blessed to have each other, you guys. We are so blessed.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for your share. It's very inspiring. I feel like crying now. It's very touching. Thank you. Set us in the right path.
I would like to.
So I have to go. Okay. See you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.
Amy, we could totally do that. Amy's saying, you know, what about more shares on... like on Wednesdays. We could totally do that. Great mm-hmm. idea.
I just wanted to say one thing real quick, because you guys talked about the collective.
Yeah.
And all this time while you guys were in the tapas, I was journaling or writing. And I'm so moved because a lot of the connection, the energy that was, I really must have felt it had been there, because all the stuff that I was writing was a lot of what you have just shared. And it's just so profound because I never, you know, when you talk about the collective and then what each one of you talked about, how you want to connect to humankind. So it's been an incredible journey for me too. Thank you for making that connection and sending that energy back here to the States. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We didn't actually have to do anything, Jim. The collective is a happening. We are just totally one. That's the truth. That's the field that we create, you guys, every day together, and we've done it for a long time. Yeah. It's really extraordinary.
What became really apparent and clear to me while I was there was the Ontarianum inside and the Santarianum.
Servantarianum.
How they are one, and that's what we're experiencing. You know, it's how I connect to the divine, and you connect to the divine. Then it connects us. I mean, like Leah said, there's no effort. It's a happening because it's all one. It's so beautiful, Jim. Thank you. It brings tears to my eyes just feeling and you're sharing that. And really powerful. Thank you.
Next time we share, I'd love to share a story specific to that, that happened at Tapas. It was so specific, you just couldn't deny it. So I'd love to share that next time.
So I would say, family, stay soaked in this grace. Just let it absorb and carry you through your day. Let questions come later. And we'll continue this forever.
On the occasion of International World Peace Day, let us immerse in a beautiful peace meditation. Kindly sit still and close your eyes. Inhale into your lungs deeply. And say the word peace within. Exhaling slowly. Stay within peace. Your palms on your heart. Breathe into your heart. Breathe out of your heart. For whatever you have been angry with yourself, say to yourself, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. I am at peace. Feel it deeply. And say within yourself, I forgive myself. I am at peace. I am at peace. Relax your palms. And feel as if you are breathing peace in and breathing peace out. Think of one person you judge and dislike. For a few moments, stay in the knowing that the other person's sadness, the other person's fear is no different from your own. From the space of compassion, wish that the other person be free of pain and unhappiness in life. Feel as if you are placing your palms on the other person's heart. And see, I am at peace with you. I am at peace with you. I am at peace with you. As you say this, feel the other person's smile. See all the children and the young people of the world experiencing beautiful states of peace and joy. See them peaceful and joyful, like little Buddhas. Feel a world where these peace-loving people are heading tomorrow's politics, businesses, technology, science, and entertainment. Make a sacred intention to bring peace to the children around you. Deeply inhale and say, I am at peace with the future. I am at peace with the future. I am at peace with the future. Expand your sense of peace even further. Think of the world, all the people, thousands of them who travel with you on road every day. Feel the anxiety behind their faces. Say, I and you are one. Expand your awareness even further. Think of the earth. She is that mother who has become our body. We are made of her earth, her soil. She is that mother who becomes our food. energy is the energy that courses through our brains and bodies. It is her water that courses through our veins as blood. Feel the interconnection with the earth and bless her that she be peaceful. Bless that the earth may be well, that all her life forms may live peacefully. Sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu lokan samastan sukhino bhavantu. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May we be instruments of peace for all life on earth. Take a deep breath. Slowly open your eyes.